Our scripture reading tonight is from Isaiah 62 from the Message. Look, your Savior comes. Regarding Zion, I can't keep my mouth shut. Regarding Jerusalem, I can't hold my tongue. Until her righteousness blazes down like the sun and her salvation flames up like a torch. Foreign countries will see your righteousness and world leaders your glory. You'll get a brand new name straight from the mouth of God. You'll be a stunning crown in the palm of God's hand, a jeweled gold cup held high in the hand of your God. No more will anyone call you rejected, and your country will no more be called ruin. You'll be called Hephzibah, my delight, and your land Bela, married, because God delights in you, and your land will be like a wedding celebration. For as a young man marries his virgin bride, so your builder marries you. And as a bridegroom is happy in his bride, so your God is happy with you. I've posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. Day and night they keep at it, praying, calling out, reminding God to remember. They are to give him no peace until he does what he says, until he makes Jerusalem famous as a city of praise. God has taken a solemn oath, an oath he means to keep. Never again will I open your grain-filled barns to your enemies to loot and eat. Never again will foreigners drink the wine that you work so hard to produce. No, the farmers who grow the food will eat the food and praise God for it. And those who make the wine will drink the wine in my holy courtyards. Walk out of the gates. Get going. Get the road ready for the people. Build the highway. Get at it. Clear the debris. Hoist high a flag, a signal to all the peoples. Yes, God has broadcast to all the world. Tell daughter Zion, look, your Savior comes, ready to do what he has said he'd do, prepared to complete what he promised. Zion will be called new names, holy people, God redeemed, sought out, city not forsaken. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hundreds of years before Jesus walked on this earth, the prophet Isaiah revealed these promises from God to his people Israel, who had been faithless often, back and forth with good kings and bad kings, who had been exiled, abandoned. Comes this promise from God. But I am not going to leave you in this position, God says. A mighty Savior is coming. And as I redeem you, I will give you a new name. No longer will you be called abandoned or forgotten. But you will be my delight. Your land will no longer be barren and desolate. I will marry you, says the Lord, and I will love you. And this incredible promise to God's people, to the people of Israel, holds true for us today who have been grafted into Abraham. Because that's what God does when he redeems us through Jesus Christ. He takes us who were once no people at all, and he makes us the people of God. He takes us who were abandoned and forgotten and banged up and hurt and sinful. And he clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. He gives us new life, abundant life that starts now and goes throughout eternity. Look, Isaiah says to the people, your Savior comes. And indeed, he came in the person of Jesus Christ Emmanuel, God with us, God fleshed out for us, that when we put our trust in him, when we bow our knee at the cross of Calvary where he shed his blood so that we might be forgiven and redeemed, when we say, Jesus, I want you in my life, when we turn around from walking our own way and being our own God and turn to him, we find this incredible life that God has promised us. No longer are we abandoned or forsaken or desolate or ruined. But we are the bride of Christ. We are the children of God. He holds us in his palm of his hand like a jeweled cup, Isaiah says. We are beautiful to him. We are sought after. We are God's people, not because of anything we did or any innate goodness in us, or because we went to church a whole lot, or we had perfect attendance in Sunday school, but because we came desperate, thirsty, and banged up and bruised and dirty to the only one who could make us clean, Jesus Christ. And if you have never had the opportunity to say, I want some of that, if you've been dancing around church and thinking Jesus was a pretty cool guy, but that's it, I invite you tonight to bow your knee, to invite him into your life, to transform you, to lay down your own efforts at being good and accept the grace he pours out freely on us. It's such an amazing promise, and one that God promised again and again and again in the scriptures. And because we live on the other side of Good Friday and Easter, we've gotten to see some of the fulfillment of that. Even though we wait with longing for the day when we see Jesus come again in glory and he sets everything right in this broken world where justice and righteousness reign. But in the middle of this beautiful promise, there is a verse that staggers me. It's a verse that, as I've read this chapter, I've skipped right on over. And one day it jumped out and said, whoa, look at me. Isaiah says that God puts watchmen on the wall of the city, if you will, and they're about it all the time, praying and crying out for God to remember. They're reminding God, that's their job, they're reminding God of his promise to save his people. And then here's the even more staggering part. Isaiah says, they shall have no rest until God does what he promised. Praying, crying out to God. God, remember your promise. Remember your people. And doing it again and again and again and again and again until God does it. It's mind-blowing. God gives us in this passage the permission to nag him. Not because he needs to be nagged, not because he needs to be reminded, but somehow God made us co-laborers in this kingdom of God thing. And we're invited to remind God of his promises and to keep doing it. And you know, this isn't the only place where we're told to be persistent. And it's just one more proof that we need to drop this very polite church face that we wear and be the people God invites us to be. Jesus tells a story about a widow who was so persistent knocking on her neighbor's door, knocking on a judge's door, that finally, she gets help. About a widow who bothered a judge until he gave her justice. About the friend who knocked on his neighbor's door to get bread. And even though his friend was in bed, his friend finally got up because of his neighbor's persistence. Jesus says this, keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Because to the one who asks, it's given. To the one who seeks, that one finds. And to the one who knocks, the door is open. So we're invited to be persistent, to keep reminding God of his promise. And this is a crazy verse because it will transform the way you pray. It's transforming the way I pray. You know, we talk a lot about praying, but I think the average Christian spends 3 minutes a day praying. I think the average pastor spends 5 minutes a day praying. So we're doing a whole lot more talking about praying than praying. And yet I believe when we stop talking about praying and start praying, we see God's glory and God's power moving in our lives and in our church. So we're invited to pray, but we don't always know how to pray. That's why we talk about praying a whole lot more than we do it. I know you've been that in a group when somebody says, well, who wants to pray? And everybody's like, not me. We don't always know how to pray, and we worry about all these silly things, like if we're eloquent or if we're praying God's will, you know, then we always have to say, well, God, if it's your will, right? But here, Isaiah gives us a key on how to pray with power. Because what these watchmen who are praying are doing are reminding God of something that he already said he was going to do. If you will, they are praying God's words, God's truth, God's promise right back to him. So there's no way they're out of God's will. When they say, God, save your people, God, save your people, God, save your people. God, send a savior, send a savior, send a savior. When the watchmen prayed that prayer, they were praying God's will because that's what God promised them. That's what he was going to do. And so when we're praying in our own lives, when we're longing to see God transform us, when we're longing for more than just playing church, when we want to live out the gospel, when we want to be used of God, when we want to see God come bursting into not only our broken life, but the broken lives of the people we love, Isaiah says this: remind God of his promises and keep on. Don't get tired until you see God answer. So what does that look like? What does that look like in my life, in your life? I don't know about your life. Let me show you my life a little bit. One of my fervent prayers is that my children and now my grandchildren are going to grow up to know Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of their lives. That they are going to serve him, that they are going to worship him, that he is going to be their God. That is probably the deepest desire of my heart. And so when I pray for my children, one of the promises I hold on to is a promise that was made at the day of Pentecost when the gospel was preached and the Spirit poured out in power and lives were changed. And the promise is this: this promise of eternal life of the Holy Spirit, this promise is for you and your children. So I hold on to that promise. I pray that promise. God, you promised. Eternal life available to me and available to my children and my grandchildren. Help them grab a hold of it. When the world around me is looking like a disaster and everything is going wrong, one of my favorite promises of all time that I hold on to is the promise Paul gives us in Romans that God works all things together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. So when my world seems to be spinning out of control, the promise I can pray back to remind God is, God, I need you to use this. I need you to use this for my good, for your glory. I need you to redeem this broken place, this broken part, whatever it is, this broken circumstance. I need you to redeem it. So God, turn it around for good. when the chaos and catastrophe is not in the world around me, but in my very own heart, when I am far from the person I want to be, when I get slapped in the face with my own selfishness and laziness and self-centeredness and my own lack of faith, I hold on to the promise that God made in the book of Philippians through Paul, that God, who began a good work in me, will bring it to completion. And so then I pray that promise back to God. God, somehow in the mess of who I am, in my words that I use wrongly, in my thoughts that I think poorly, in all the things I do wrong, God, finish your good work in me. Don't leave me like this, half a mess, sometimes a whole mess. When my sin overwhelms me, when I realize that no matter how great of a job I think I'm doing, I'm still a fallen, fragile, broken, sinful woman. Then I pray the promise that I read in King David's words after he had one of the worst moments of sin in his life. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. So then I pray that promise back to God. God, you are able to create a new heart in me. You're able to take this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh instead, a heart that beats in time with yours. There's just, I can't even explain to you, and some of you may have experienced this, what happens when you start reminding God of his promise, not because he needs to be reminded, but when we speak words of truth, when we speak God's word, there's power in that. And as we think we're reminding God, you know who we're really reminding? Ourselves, because we forget. We think that somehow God has abandoned us sometimes. When everything's going wrong, we think we must have done something wrong that God turned his back on us. And we forget how faithful God is. We forget that God's greatest desire is to transform us until we look just like Jesus. We forget that in a mess of circumstances and annoying people and things that don't go our way, God has a plan for our lives, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan to give us hope and a future. Do you see how easy that is? Do you see how many promises there are? In just a couple minutes, we probably hit at least 10 promises of God. So if you have a promise from God that you've read in the scripture that you hold tight to, outstanding. And I encourage you to just keep doing that. Keep reminding God, keep reminding yourself of God's promise to you. If you don't have a promise or two from God, then I ask you to look for one. As you read the scripture, a really cool way to read the scripture is to read a short passage and then say, hey, are there any promises in here? And if you see them, underline them, write them down, stick them on a post-it note, tattoo them on your forehead, whatever it is you have to do to remind yourself of God's promise. And then remind God and start praying it. Because if you want a better prayer life, if you want more communion with God, if you want to see your prayers start transforming who you are as a person, then start praying God's word. Because there's power in God's word. And Isaiah in another chapter says this. God says, my word will never come back void without accomplishing what I sent it out to do. So God's word does what it needs to do. It cuts to our heart. It brings us to our knees. It puts our hands reaching up for God. It comforts our heart. It restores our faith. It is never void. It is never powerless. It is never empty. These watchmen standing on the wall around the city of Jerusalem are always at it, praying and crying out, asking God to remember and to get no rest until he does what he promised. May we be persistent like that. May we be so hungry to see God for real in our lives that we do not let up until we see him do what he promised. Let's pray. Lord God, first of all, we just thank you so much for your salvation. We thank you so much for your love that sent you to the cross. Lord, we are just continually overwhelmed at your grace and your love, and so we bow our knee at the foot of Calvary and we say, Jesus, that's for me. That blood that was shed, that's for me. God, I want it to be for me. I want you more and more in my life. I want to trust in your grace and your goodness, not my own anymore. Thank you, Jesus, that you come into our lives and you make us new. And Lord, we just ask that you would bring your word alive for us as we read it, that we would realize that they're just not words on a page, but it's you, the eternal word, speaking your truth into our hearts. God, help us to be a people who hold on, who trust you to do what you say you're going to do, who believe your promises. God, help us. Help us to run after you, because your promise is that if we seek you, you'll let us find you, God. So let us find you in a deeper, in a more life-giving, in a more powerful way in our own ordinary lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.